We left off last week. We were discussing the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, just what exactly is the case if a tola davar. So we mentioned that the person leaves something in the street, leaves his evan, satke, maso, his knife, his package, his rock, middle of the street, and then something, somebody eventually trips on and gets damaged. So that is a potential tola of bor. It's not the bor hakosa b'torah. The Torah doesn't talk about putting a suitcase in the street. The Torah talks about digging a hole. But anything that has the properties of bor, so we'll take on the characteristics of bor as well. The only technicality the Gemara says is that it has to really, really be similar to bor in order to qualify as a tol de bor, and herein lies the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Shmuel says, well, any and every case that you left the rock, you left the suitcase in the middle of the street and it damages, it's a bor. It doesn't matter whether you're holding on to ownership on that rock, doesn't matter whether you're a mafka the rock, doesn't matter. The bottom line is you left the takol, you left the stumbling block of the Shas Rabbim, that is a tol of bor. And according to Shmuel, it carries with it all the details of bor, such as you're chayef to pay, but on the other hand, you're putter on kalim, because it takes out all the characteristics of bor. And Rav says, it depends. If you were mafkirit, if you declared it to be ownerless, that's a bor. But if you weren't mafkirit, that's not a bor anymore. What is that? That's a shor. That's closer in the model of your animal damaging. Again, it's not exactly an animal. Animals walking around with horns and alive and stepping around, and this is sitting there, but since you own it, so that characteristic of ownership is enough to put you into the category of shor rather than the category of bor. Now, this is not just a theoretical question whether you chayv because of shor or bor. At the end of the day, you chayv to pay, but it's an important question because it'll be a practical difference if you chayv for kalim. So according to Rav, you would be chayv for kalim on a suitcase that you weren't mafkir, because that's a shor, and shor is chayv and kalim. According to Shmuel, you would be potter. So we have to isolate that machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Why is hefker so critical? Why, according to Rav, is the lack of ownership so important that ultimately determines whether it's a bor or not? So Shmuel was encouraged that. Shmuel didn't think that was important, and Rav thought that was chalik v'lo yavor. So at the very end of the shiur, last Friday, so we began to follow Rashi's route to the sugya. Rashi makes reference to Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which becomes really the main thrust of today. We mentioned that there was Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how to read the psukim about bor itself. If we want to understand the Toldos, we have to really have clarity for the others. What is the Bor HaKosu B'Torah? What exactly is the Torah describing in Parshas Mishpatim? So the Gemara began by saying, Ki Yiftach Ish Bor, Ki Yichor Ish Bor. Stop. Where is this Bor? I read the Psalm, I can't tell where the Bor is. Is it my property, your property, his property? Can't tell. Yiftach Yiftach. So comes the Gemara and says, Ki Yiftach Ki Yichor teaches us Al Iske Psicho Kriya Bolo, that the Torah is describing the Maisa of Digi. That is the mechayev of this bor. The reason why balaboy shalem, the reason why I have to pay, is because I did a maisa of digging a bor. The Torah does not say that I own the bor. The Torah is not even talking about ownership over the bor. Just the mere fact that I dug the bor, that's the mechayev. What kind of an imagery is that? That the maisa kriyas a bor is the mechayev, not the ownership. Well, clearly that's a bor b'shus a rabbim, because if it's a bor b'shus, if it's something that I literally own, if I still own the bor, that's not a maisa psicho kriya, that's ownership. I'm responsible for things that I own. So for the mere fact that the Torah speaks about kiyiftach yichra as the maisa being the keveh, being the determining factor, that indicates the first half of the pasuk is talking about a bor b'shus a rabbim. Question is there a second half of the pasuk or not? So the second half, not literally the second half, but the next pasuk speaks about the baal habor yishalem, the owner of a bor pays. So that becomes very tricky. How do we translate that phrase, baal habor, in light of the fact that the first half of the pasuk, there is no baal habor. It's just iskep psichokri, there's just a bor b'shus harabim. So who is this mysterious phantom baal habor? So this was a machlokes that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva says, who is the baal habor? It's a different bor. It's not a brisket ter. There are two bors. There's the bor of the first pasuk. That's the bor b'shus harabim. And then there's the bor of bor b'shuso, the bor that I still own. That's a different kind of a bor. Baal habor yishalem. So Rabbi Akiva says, wait a second. Baal habor, I'm chayef to pay for my bor. I dig a hole in my property, and your animal spatzias into my property and falls, but I have to pay? That doesn't make any sense. Torcha b'shu, see my bor? What's your ox doing in my backyard? So Rabbi Akiva has to give a tait. Rabbi Akiva has to say, hocha b'mayaskin on the following case. You are the baal habor, but you're not the baal of the reshus anymore. You're not the baal, you're not the owner of the adjacent property. Why? You were mafkir that adjacent property. So you maintained ownership over your pit, but you were mafkir the surrounding areas. So I have a backyard. I dump a pit in my backyard, and then I become a nice guy and I say, you know what, I'm going to give some of my land to the, I'm going to make a public area here, let everybody come and walk 20, a couple of feet anyway, but what do I not do? I don't fill up the bore. So here I own a bore in an area where people do have the right of access, and now the Torah says, Al zeh ne'emar ba'al habor yishalem. So that's the second half of the pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva.
He specifically left out the boar when it was mafkir the rest of
right,
the
year. Right, that's right. If he would have mafkir the boar also, then he's not the ba'al habor anymore. So that can't be what the Torah is saying according to Rabbi Akiva. So comes, he still wants the storage area of the boar. So comes Rabbi Shmuel and says, that's not true. Comes Rabbi Shmuel and says, that is not the meaning of the pasuk. Ba'al habor yishalem is not a second bor, it's not an additional bor, it's the same bor of the first half of the pasuk. There's only one bor according to Rabbi Shmuel. It's the bor b'shus harabim. So why in the world is he called the ba'al habor? Same reason why chametz is called your chametz. Rabbi Shmuel says, it's not really yours, it's hefker, it's asabana. The Torah makes it yours. The Torah makes believe it's yours. So Rabbi Shmuel had his famous comment that a bor b'shus harabim is eino b'shus hashaladim. He's not really the ba'al habor, but asa'akoski is b'shus. The Torah treats him and obligates him as if he is the ba'al habor. So a major machlokes would be Kivin Rabbi Shmuel. Now, is there one ma'al habor in the Torah or the 2 miles habor in the Torah? So comes Rashi and says, that machlokes Rabbi Kivin Rabbi Shmuel that existed back in the days of the Tanoim has just resurfaced in the days of the Amoraim. That's the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel, that Rav has a certain image about bor. Rav says a bor can't have a real owner to it. And if it has a real owner to it, it's not a bor, then it's a shor. What is the driving factor? Why is it that it's impossible, according to Rav, to own a bor? Because he's holding like Rabbi Shmuel, that there's only one bor in the Torah, and that's the bor b'shus harabim. There is no ba'al habor, there's no real ba'al habor. And therefore, according to Rav, it's inconceivable to own a bor and still call it a bor. It must be, what am I chayav for? If I left a suitcase on the floor, what can I possibly be chayav for? That's a shor, not a bor. And Rashi says, according to Shmuel, you can own a bor. Why can you own a bor? Because Shmuel thought the Rabbi Kiva is right. That there is a model in the halacha, there is a model in the pasuk, there is an av of a bor that has ownership connected to it. And therefore, a suitcase in the street is a tolda of that model of the bor across the Betorah.
What kind of shor is this? A Karen?
Oh, that's another question. Oh, very good. Excellent. Mechav to Tosis Kasha. Tosis says, if it's a shor, so let's call it a Karen. Let's say you only have to pay Chatzin Nezek. So Tosis says, no, the parish of Chatzin Nezek only makes sense by live animals. The idea of an animal, we're trying to ascertain, is the animal habitual to gore, not habitual to gore, is it normal, not normal? Tosis says that whole concept of Tam and Mu'ah doesn't make any sense when you're not dealing with live animals. So when all the dust settles, according to Rashi, the machlokes Rav and Shmuel did not start in Bavel between Rav and Shmuel. It's an age-old machlokes. It goes all the way back to the days of the Tanoim, and ultimately revolves around how to learn Pshat. So if we're going to go down Rashi's route, that these issues are related to one another, we still have to fine-tune the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We have to make sure we really truly understand the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So comes take a look at the third of the Marmakomos. Comes Rashi, in explaining the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rashi has the following comment. The third of the Marmakomos is on Daf Mem Tes on the base. So Rashi says, for Rabbi Akiva Modal, it's the second part of the paragraph. For Rabbi Akiva Modal Leila Rabbi Shmuel, the Bar B'Shus Harabim, the Hu Am B'Torah. There's machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, but only in one direction. Namely, Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Shmuel that a bor b'shus harabim is chayav. That is the ikar bor harabim b'torah. That is kiyiftach kiyichra. That is bor b'shus harabim. The machlokes is of a Rabbi Yishmael lamodil to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael doesn't agree to Rabbi Akiva with bor b'shuso. He doesn't accept the concept of a bor b'shuso. And why does Rabbi Yishmael deny the principle of bor b'shuso? That illustration, that case that Rabbi Akiva drew for us of a fellow owned a backyard, dug a pit, mafka the surrounding areas, maintains ownership over the pit. That is the second bor of Rabbi Akiva. How come Rabbi Shmuel doesn't buy into that? So Rashi gives you a svara. Tika savar, ki afkarna lach rishusi, lav l'chiyuve anabezek afkarte. Comes Rabbi Shmuel to the defense of the quote-unquote ba'al habor, and he says, honestly, until last week, I owned everything. I owned the backyard. I owned the pit. I can do whatever I please. And if somebody walks into my pit and falls in, it's tough luck. What are you doing? What's your animal doing in my pit? So I'm in the driver's seat. I'm calling the shots. Now, I decide out of the goodness of my heart that I want to be mafka the surrounding areas. I want to be a nice guy and let people walk through my path on the way, cut through it on the way to shul. So I'm going to give public access to my surrounding areas. But never in my wildest dreams did I expect that I'm going to give access to everybody, and then the animals are going to walk in a fall to my pit, and then you're going to sue me to pay for the board. That's not fair, says Rashi, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to in the defense of the quote-unquote balabor. So this balabor can turn around and say, I never, ever would have dreamt to be mafka under those circumstances. So it was a hefker b'tos. I never meant it. I never would have done such a thing. So you're going to tell me now I have to pay. It's not fair. And Rashi says, you're right. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's a good taina. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that there is no such thing as a bor b'shuzo, because you can't ever obligate him, because he always can fall back on the svara of lav l'chayuvi ana bezeka afkarte. That's Rashi's interpretation. So Tosfos, on the fourth of the Marma Kamos, has a similar dilemma to Rashi. Tosfos says, let's see what kind of a defense can we come up for this quote-unquote balabor. According to Rabbi Ishmael, why is it that he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Why doesn't Rabbi Ishmael buy into the second bor? So whereas Rashi gave the defense of it was a hefker b'tos, Tosfos gives a little bit of a different defense. Tosfos says, V'yei Shalom, on the fourth of the Marma Kamos, the Hainu Taima, Mishum da amalei torcha b'shusi, my boy, because at the end of the day, the damage took place in my pit. So what is your animal doing in my pit? So whereas maybe the other fellow, the Baal HaBehema, could say, well, it had rights to walk near the pit, so it's not like it barged into your backyard, it's not like it broke down the fence and came to your backyard. So it did have a certain rights to go where it went. So Tosus is turning around and now defending. Tosus just became the lawyer for the Baal HaBor. Tosus says, no, torcha b'shusi, my boy. Said, yes, I gave you rights to walk. I let the animal walk there, but it should have been more careful. You should have been more careful. Don't let it walk on the edge of the boar. And when it falls into the boar, and you're going to turn around and make me chayev, that's not fair. My boy. So both Rashi and Tosos are literally coming to the defense of the balabor, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and they're explaining why doesn't Rabbi Shmuel say yechayev for the boar b'shuso. So Rashi says, because I never had in mind to be mafkir, to make myself chayev. Tosos says, because ultimately you are the pesha, you are negligent, because what in the world is Yeshua doing in my boar? But both Rashi and Tosos are trying very, very hard to go up with a svar for a logic, for some kind of counterclaim for the balabor to have. So the Achronim are very, very bothered with Rashi and Tosos, because l'chora, there is no need for a counterclaim. So why in the world do we have to come to the defense of the Baal HaBor? I have the simplest defense of the Baal HaBor. The Baal HaBor should say to the Baal HaShor, said, let's learn Chumash together. Show me where I'm Chayev. Everyone's potlot to prove in Chayev. Show me where I'm Chayev. Ki yiftach, ki yichra. That's the Bor B'shuz Rabbim. So that we learned this together. That first picture, the first pasuk is depicting a Bor B'shuz Rabbim. This is not a Bor B'shuz Rabbim. Elo what Rabbi Shmuel is going to say? You're going to tell me Baal HaBor Yishalem, a Bor Sheyesh Lebailim? This is Rabbi Shmuel talking. And in Rabbi Shmuel's article Chumash, Baal HaBor wasn't translated to be owner of the Bor. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Baal HaBor means a Bor B'shuz HaRabim, a Soa Kosov Kilu B'shuzam, that the Torah is making believe that you are the owner. So Rabbi Shmuel should turn around, Rabbi Shmuel should come to the defense of the Baal HaBor and say, you know why I'm not Chayev? You know why I'm not Chayev, says the Baal HaBor? He says, there's no pasuk to say I'm chayev. Where's the pasuk? Both Rashi and Tosfos are assuming there's a potential chiyuv out there, and now we're waiting for the rebuttal of the Baal HaBor. The Baal HaBor's got to explain to our lomdus a cheshbin, so he's got to hire a lawyer to figure out why is he potter. So Rashi came out with this claim, and Tosfos came out with this defense. He asked the Echret, what do you need a defense for? He said, you're potter because there's no pasuk. Because kiyifta, kiyichra is talking about Bor B'shuz HaRabim. Baal HaBor is talking about, like, to the same story, it's the same Bor B'shuz HaRabim. There is no pasuk for Bor B'shuz HaRabim. So the Chorah, the answer, the secret to Rashi and Tosfos is as follows. And this is going to impact the Nashu Sugya as the Sugya develops. Chorah, the answer to Rashi and Tosfos is as follows. True, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah itself is only talking about a Bor B'shuz HaRabim. That is correct. Ki yiftach, ki yichra. The Torah is only, that's the model of a Bor. But a Bor B'shuzo, kal v'chomer should be chayev. How much more so should be chayev? Madach and Rishus HaRabim, where I could have theoretically hid behind, it's not my bore, it's like, it's not my chametz. And the guy could have theoretically come up with such an excuse, and the Torah says, wrong, the Torah says, forget about it, the Torah says, that's not a good excuse. Kal v'chaymeh ben benoshe kal v'chaymeh, when it's mamash yours, so of course you're responsible for your property, of course you're responsible for your ownership of the bore that belongs to you in Dinei Mamonos. So that's a Rashi and Tosfos had to bend over backwards and say, no, there's a pirchei kal v'chaymeh, that in the case of the bore b'shus, so the guy could always say, I didn't mean to be mafkrit, or what are you falling into my rishus for? So bein l'rashi, bein l'tosfos, we have to come to the defense of the balabar, because otherwise it would have been chayiv. So the starting point is, you are chayiv for a bor b'shuso. It's not that according to Rabbi Yishmael, bor b'shuso doesn't exist. Bor b'shuso is not on the radar screen. Bor b'shuso does exist. It's not a pasuk. It would have been a kal v'chaymer. And the only reason why you potter is because you have these almost external tangential svaras, bein l'rashi, bein l'tosfos.
So, I don't know why you need a kal v'chaymer. Well, ki yifta ki yichra, the ownership is irrelevant. It's al p'tich v'al al whatever that is, but it's not about ownership.
Okay, excellent. Good. So you really mechavi. Some Acharonim raise a question: is ki yiftach ki yichra, where the Gemara interprets that to mean Rishus Arabim, is that a drusha that only the bor of ki yiftach and ki yichra chayiv? It's like a miut, or is it, is that a miut? It's just a description of a maisa kriya. So if it's a maisa kriya, I did a maisa kriya. I did a maisa kriya b'shus harav. I did a maisa kriya b'shus hayach. Right. So it could be, if you're going down your route, you don't even need a formal kal v'chaymer. I'm presenting it more like Rabbi Shmuel Omer, like a kal v'chaymer. And you're saying, it's not a kal v'chaymer. It's just, that is also an example of ki yichra. So, okay, you can go down either my route or your route, will end up in the same place. So when now when the sugya begins to come into place, it comes out that, yes, we have an important machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel on our hands, but Rabbi Yishmael is not so anti-bor b'shuso as we thought so. Rabbi Yishmael also, in theory, would have accepted a bor b'shuso, if not for the fact that there are these technical reasons which are going to pater. So getting back to our original sugya, Rashi at least connected the dots. Nowhere does the Gemara connect the dots. Nowhere does the Gemara ever say, in 119 blad of Avakama, that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel and the Machlekes Rav Kivin and Shmuel are dependent one upon the other. But Rashi said explicitly, Rashi back at Afkav Chesed, a black and white, that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, just how much of a role Hefker does or does not play, is ultimately the Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So come to Rishonim and have a lot of problems with this. A lot of what we would call textual problems with this. Come to Rishonim, Tosfos, Ramban, and one Kasha after another Kasha after another Kasha, highlight the fact that Rashi's Cheshvan, Rashi's Lishitoso, as we say, between Rabbi Kiva and Rishmol and Rabbi Shmuel, just doesn't seem to fit. Tosfos highlights that there is a Gemara earlier on the Masechta, where earlier, depending where you're on the Masechta, but for us it's later, but there it's earlier, back in the second barak, where the Gemara seems to say that Rav and Shmuel don't line up properly with Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And comes the Ramban and says that this sugya of Rav and Shmuel appears so many times in Bava Kama, a handful of times in Bava Kama. The Gemara references the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and nowhere does the Gemara say, Lema Ketanoi, maybe this is a Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which is something that's stylistic in the Gemara to do. Something that textually we would have expected. Nowhere does the Gemara say that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel have come back to life, and that's the Rabbi Shmuel depends on it, and pilpul that. No, not a word, nothing. There's a sugi about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in the fifth parak. There's a sugi about Rabbi Shmuel in the third parak. It's referenced in the first parak, and nowhere in the Gemara had so many opportunities to connect the dots, and the Gemara doesn't. So the Ramban argues that in of itself doesn't bode well for Rashi's pshat. So if we can go down the route of Tosfos and the Ramban, that the connection between the sugyas is probably not correct, unlike Rashi. So back to square one. So what are they arguing about? What exactly is the Nekudas of Machlokes? So comes Tosfos. Let's see if we can find the line of the Tosfos. Take a look at the bottom of the fifth in the Marmikov. So back on the first page. On the first page, the bottom of that paragraph. So Tosfos says, Umi unira, the second line from the bottom. Umi unira, says Tosfos, the Rav Matzi Sava Shapir, the Hivki Rishus of Loboro, Nami Chayav. So comes Tosfos and says, the two issues are not dependent on one another. Rav, in the Sugi of Avana Sugi Maso, could hold like Rabbi Akiva, he could hold like Rabbi Shmuel, he can go either way, doesn't matter. The law, Afal Gav, the Avana of a Sakina Masel, Law of Karina, Law of Ibar, Rav. So what did Rav mean when he says that if you own it, it's not a bor? What he means is as follows. Says Tosfos, Rav never meant to say, you're not chayef for bor. If I have a suitcase that's sitting in the street, whether I own it or don't own it, that is also a bor, according to Rav. Rav never said it's not a bor. So what did Rav mean? Rav said, in addition to being a bor, it's also a shor. And what do you gain by saying there's an additional level of chiyuv? V'ikanami l'chiyuvinu mishum shor. And my nafkemina, v'lechaya b'enes hakelem. The advantage of saying that you're also chayav mishum shor is that unlike bor, which has an exemption of kelim, shor doesn't have that kula of kelim, and therefore, Rav says, I'm going to add a kish, I'm going to add a dimension, add a characteristic of chiyuv, and that's going to be shor, and that's going to make you pay for kelim. So it comes out, according to Tosfos, we now have a totally different picture of what's going on. That according to Rashi, it's either or. Either you decide, make up your mind, you're either a bor or you're a shor. Rav says you can't be a bor because you own it, and ownership is a no-no in Hilchos Bor. Therefore, you must be a shor. Tosfos says, Mapitom. Ownership's not a no-no in Hilchos Bor. Rav may hold it could be Akiva, maybe also could be Shmarna, who he holds. I don't care who he holds like, says Tosfos. Rav could hold Yechai Mishum Bor, and he does hold Yechai Mishum Bor. So what does he mean, Mishum Shor? He means in addition to Bor, Yechai Mishum Shor, and the added characteristic adds on 1,000 cents in terms of Achil of Kelim Bor. So that Achil of Kelim Bor. So that's how Tosfos sizes up the sugya. So now we have a major machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What was the machlokes, Rav and Shmuel? Was it a machlokes one extreme to another, either shor or bor, and neither that would combine the two? Or like Tosfos, no, that's very, very possible that both are correct. So it comes to Ramban, and that walks a tightrope in between Rashi and Tosfos. The Ramban, the Muchamas, the sixth day of Mamakobos. So comes the Ramban and says that you have to know what the starting point of the sugya is. You have the Amoraim sitting around and trying to figure out, is this suitcase sitting in the street, is it shore or is it bor? So comes the Ramban, the sixth of Mamre comes and says, to the end of the first line, Avana sakira maso, ika ledamyinu l'shor, v'ika ledamyinu l'bor. So comes the Ramban and says, you have a choice. You're not going to be chaya for both. It's impossible. The Ramban's starting point in the sugya is you can't have two fathers. You can't have two others. You're either a shor or you're a bor. Unlike Tosfos who said you can be part of two. You're part of two teams, that's not a problem. No, you have to pick which team you're on. But unlike Rashi who says that bor is an impossible team according to Rav because you can't own a bor, the Ramban says you could own a bor. It's possible to own a bor. So what's the issue? We have to take a look at the two others, the Av of shor and the Av of bor, and really, really understand them properly. Zero and focus on the characteristics of each one, and then ultimately make that determination which one is the suitcase closer to. That's the thrust. That's how you approach the sugya. So according to Rashi, the thrust of the sugya is you cannot be, according to Rav, you can't be a bor. Forget it, nothing, without even discussing whether you're a bor, because you own it, well, you own can't be a bor, so therefore by default you're a shor. According to Tosfos Pshat, you're both a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Chayav and Kalim, you got everything going against you. According to the Ramban, you have to be one. So you don't have that option of being two like Tosfos. You have to be one. But let's negotiate. Let's discuss. Let's analyze. Let's see. With an open mind, says the Ramban, we're approaching and seeing, is a suitcase closer to a shor or closer to a bor? So the Ramban starts to go through the cheshbon, and he says, you know, it's an important cheshbon because it's going to have enough kamin to look at Bekelim. So comes the Ramban and tells you, what is it about the suitcase that Rav felt is closer to shor than to bor? So back to the second line in the Ramban. So, ikla dimino, the beginning of the line, second line, ikla dimino l'shor, likla dimino l'bor. Hilkach, therefore Rav says, l'shor medaminin lay. So Rav was of the opinion that it's closer to shore. Why is it closer to shore? So comes Ramban and brings something back from the last sugya. The Eishlomar, Shetaimo Shel Rav, the Hoil Velo Chiva Olaf Torah, El Lahavlo. Let's not forget what, according to Rav, was the defining feature of a bor. Remember back to the last sugya, Rav held that the defining characteristic of bor is the hevel, is that bad air. Now again, it's the thing that we never really understood, but that was Rav Shita. So it's the stale air, it's the hevel, it's the bad, lack of oxygen. That is what's mechayev you in terms of a bor. the Havla, the Ramban continues, Leis Bei Mamasha. Now, Mamasha is supposed to be. That Hevel, by definition, there's nothing concrete there. You can't hold on to it. It's something which is, no pun intended, up in the air. It's not literally something of Mamashas. And says the Ramban, when something is lacking Mamashas, that's already a big question. What exactly are we going to call that? I have something that's lacking Mamashas, and that's the definition of a bar. And now I have a suitcase which has Mamashas to it. So how similar are they? Not at all. They're very, very different. A bar is something which is not tangible, and a suitcase is something that's very, very tangible, very, very concrete. So says the Ramban, that's the feature. That is the line of demarcation according to Rav. And that is the reason why Rav says that a suitcase and a bar have to part ways. They're not parting ways because of lack of ownership. Ownership doesn't play a role, says the Ramban. And not like those who said that they're a little bit of both. No. They must part ways. A suitcase and a bar must part ways. Rav l'shitas. Because Rav held that the mechayev of a bar is something that's not concrete, therefore, if you are concrete, then there's nothing to talk about. Then you cannot be a bar. Then you must be a shor. So that's the Ramban's presentation of the sugya. But l'chora, we have a lot of work to do in this Ramban. Why is that? Because the Ramban is telling us that suitcase and bor are just not the same. They can't be the same. One's concrete, one's not. But wait a second. Even Rav agrees that sometimes a suitcase is a bor. If you're mafkud, it becomes a bor. How did that happen? Bishlam, according to Rashi, I understand why. According to Rashi, the line of demarcation, the feature that was important was ownership. So Rav says, if you have ownership, you can't be a bar. You don't have ownership, you can't be a bar. According to the Ramban, there's a whole new factor here, a whole new characteristic here. It's the lack of something concrete that makes you into a bar. So wait a second. How does Rav hold sometimes it is a bar? So we have a lot more work to do on the Shittas Ramban. But what we're beginning to see now is almost three different opinions that are beginning to flesh out in terms of the sugya. What exactly is the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel? Are we going down Rashi's pshat that it's an ownership issue, and it's just a throwback to the old machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel of later prakim? That's Rashi's approach to the sugya. Do we go down Tosfos' approach and say that Rav says you chay for this and chay for that and chay for that, chay for everything? That's Rav's understanding, or is the Ramban's understanding right that yes, you chay for one? And we're willing to discuss and negotiate which one it is. Mamonus doesn't really matter. Ownership doesn't really matter. There are other factors that are important, but the Ramban just identified what the other factor is, and the other factor seems to be a little bit of an overkill, because that other factor, if you're really, really going to highlight the lack of anything tangible concerning the boar, that's going to run into a big problem. So then how do you have a case of a boar? When you were mafkir, if you're mafkir the suitcase, it is a bor. How did that happen? So hopefully that's tomorrow. We have to try to put the final touches on the Ramban, try to put together the different pieces of the sugya as we go on.